The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, Lucia O'Farrell is the mother of Shane O'Farrell, who was killed in a hit and run in August 2011 near Carrickmacross in County Monaghan. And earlier today, she met Garda Commissioner Drew Harris to raise a number of concerns about his death. These concerns have previously been debated in the Dáil, which last year voted in favour of a commission of investigation to what happened. However, the government has so far failed to set up such an investigation. Lucia, thank you so much for coming in to discuss this with us this evening. We'll talk about what happened in today's meeting shortly, but would you mind telling us and our listeners a little bit about Shane?
Shane was our only son. He was 23. The day he was killed, he had just completed his law degree in UCD and his master's of law in Trinity. He was a fluent Irish and French speaker. He played the guitar. But more importantly than all of that, he was a kind and good, an exceptionally kind and good person. We adored him. We have four girls, but Shane was our only son, and they adored him too as much as we did. He was the favourite in the family. Mm. You're not supposed to say that,
no,
but he
not.
Was. But he was a very, always smiling, what he could do for other people, very happy-go-lucky person.
Yeah.
You know, just loved life, loved people, and got a violent death that shouldn't have happened.
And what age was Shane when he set out for a cycle on the 2nd of August 2011?
23
years, yeah, his whole life ahead of him.
Whole life ahead of him, his qualifications completed, college completed, you know, ready to travel, work.
That was his plan, was it,
yes,
to go and see a bit of the
yes,
world?
Yes, he wanted to travel first, yes. And, you know, he's been robbed of everything, you know. He was going out with the girl at the time, he's been robbed, engagement, marriage, we were denied grandchildren. You know, he should have had a long, healthy life, career ahead of him, you know.
Okay, and I hate to ask, but it is important that we just set the backdrop for what was to follow. And on that day, when tragedy befell your son, and you might tell us, as difficult as it might be, what happened next?
He went out for a cycle. He was to do a triathlon 4 days later in County Clare. And when he didn't return, my husband and I went out, and he had been killed in a hit and run outside Carrickmacross, left to die alone on the road.
And did you stumble across the scene, or did you get no word?
No,
that
we didn't get word.
Awful
we went out.
Happened?
No, we went out to look for him, as he hadn't returned, and we were told the road was closed, that there had been a collision with a cyclist, and that he was gone. And I thought, gone where? Where does your healthy, smiling 23-year-old son go except go home? And it's hard to comprehend when you have a child who just is so happy and loving and kind, and you're kneeling on the road beside them. But what we then discovered was this horrific account of incompetencies and failure in the 2 years prior to that, where this man had come into the country. He was a Lithuanian national. He had a history of aggravated burglary, handling, stolen property, road traffic offences, malicious damage. He was known to Interpol, the PSNI and the Gardaí. He had 42 convictions. He was a known heroin addict, and he also abused alcohol. And at the time of killing Shane, he was in multiple breaches of bail and should have been in custody at the time, and would have been in custody if the guards had done their basic duty.
And we'll get back to all of that, but just in before the crash that cost your son Shane his life at just 23 years of age, this driver had actually been stopped and his car had no NCT, and indeed it was found subsequently to not be roadworthy. But he was apparently allowed to continue on his journey.
It was actually much more than that, in that the drugs officers pulled up this car, plainclothes drugs officers, pulled up this car. It was obviously known to them. There were three occupants in the car. The driver, importantly, was not insured to drive. He should not have been allowed to proceed. The Gardaí took them out, searched them, a permitted Gradutska, Zygamantis Gradutska, with the 42 convictions and 7 for heroin, to get behind the steering wheel of the car and proceed on his journey. And within an hour, Shane was struck from behind, carried on the roof, bonnet and windscreen, and left to die alone on the road. The man subsequently continued driving, there were no brake marks. He hid the car in bushes, went back to his Lithuanian wife and said to her, "I'm after knocking someone down, I don't know who," and they both went to bed.
I can only imagine how traumatic it was to come across that scene and everything else that happened afterwards. But how difficult was it to realise that your son had been knocked down by somebody who then subsequently didn't stop, that kept going and did their utmost?
Well, it's hard to believe, you know, how somebody wouldn't stay with them and call an ambulance. I mean, I'm a nurse of 35 years, and you protect and preserve life and prevent suffering and ease suffering. But it's incomprehensible that a man would flee the scene without braking. It's an instinct to put your foot on the brake. But to go home and fail to call an ambulance, and his wife to do likewise. But the state have rewarded them for doing that. No charges were brought for withholding information. She clearly states she was aware. She said, "My husband returned home and told me I'm after knocking someone down." Within a month of killing Shane, she put him on an insurance policy as a named driver, failing to mention that he had 42 convictions and was known to Interpol, that he had killed 4 weeks earlier. She owned the defective vehicle that had no NCT on it. It was extremely defective, and indeed the PSV said it shouldn't have been on a public road. It was only suitable for them to try out in a yard. So no charges were brought to her for anything or him.
Well, let's not focus on her now, but all of these details were contained in the GSOC report, yes. I'm assuming. So this was an investigation that GSOC carried out. Were you happy with the findings?
The findings were very unsatisfactory, absolutely. No, very, very unsatisfactory.
56 allegations were made against, yes, the conduct of various members of An Garda Síochána, and ultimately GSOC found no illegality.
They said there was no criminal offences, but I would dispute that.
Well, that's for another day, perhaps. GSOC has said that there were no illegality, but when it comes to conduct, then this went to the Dáil, and you might tell us about that, because there seems to be a political appetite for a public inquiry. Why hasn't it happened yet?
Well, Fianna Fáil put forward a motion for a commission of investigation, and Sinn Féin put in an amendment that be held in public. And the vote took place, and we had full support except from Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, Labour, People Before Profit, Independence voted in favour. So on the 14th of June, the vote took place, and there was a 2-1 vote for a public inquiry. But there's been inertia by Minister Flanagan. You know, he can come out with words of sympathy and etc., but these are only words. He has failed to take any action on that vote by the will of the people for a 2-1 vote into the death of Shane.
And was the GSOC investigation still underway at the time? Is that possibly the reason that there wasn't a public inquiry?
There's no legal basis. There's absolutely no legal basis for him not to commence an inquiry. He's kicking the can down the road.
Now, I know the Taoiseach has said that there is a disciplinary investigation going on within a GSOC in relation to this, and that he doesn't want to do anything until that has come to an end. Do you think that's another example of kicking the can down the road?
Yes, and minor discipline isn't an appropriate outcome for what happened to Shane or what followed. And other agencies of the state failed Shane. Gardaí aren't the only one, so only a public inquiry will address all of those and see the failures and hold people to account and maybe address them so that it won't happen again to somebody else.
Well, you mentioned the courts there, and just to put things into perspective, on the 11th of January 2011, so this was 7 months before Shane,
yes,
died, this driver was convicted of theft in Monaghan. His sentence was adjourned for a year, and the judge said that if he got into trouble within that time, he'd be put into prison. On May 9th in RD, he was convicted of theft yet again and wasn't brought back before Monaghan Circuit Court, where he would have obviously been immediately imprisoned. That didn't happen. 2 days later, he was convicted in Dundalk of speeding. On June 8th in Carrickmacross District Court, convicted of possession of heroin. So you're saying that the courts, this guy should not have been out. He should have been in custody at the very least.
Absolutely, because 7 months before, and as you said, he appeared in Monaghan Circuit Court. The judge was not given the full information, and had he been, the case would not have been adjourned, because at that stage he was in breach of multiple counts of bail in Carrickmacross, Monaghan District Court and Cavan Court. What he said, and I have the document here, he told that he was adjourning the case for a year on condition that he stay out of trouble, not to re-offend, not to commit any offence, and if he was arrested, he further stated that if he was arrested under the theft and fraud legislation, he was to be returned to him anywhere on the circuit and he would jail him. Now, that's Donegal, Sligo, Cavan, Monaghan, Leitrim, anywhere on the circuit. Between his statement and killing Shane, he had 9 further thefts and wasn't returned to Judge O'Hagan. Indeed, as you said, in May, he had 5 days of theft. No action was taken. He was brought to court. The judge in Patrick Cloyne in RD was not informed of the order of Judge O'Hagan, and unaware of this, it wasn't his fault. The information wasn't brought to him. He gave him a four-month sentence and suspended it for 2 years, and he entered a bond to keep the peace. 2 weeks later, as you will see in the report here, on the 25th of May, he re-offended again with another theft. 2 weeks before he killed Shane, he's arrested in Newry on 3 counts of theft. The Gardaí were notified and they should have sought mutual assistance and a European arrest warrant and returned him to Monaghan Circuit Court, but that didn't happen. And then, as you say, an hour beforehand, he was pulled up by the drug squad. So there's a catalogue of failure, and had the guards done their basic duty, Shane would be alive.
You believe that.
Oh, well, the court orders state that. I mean, this isn't just. I mean, we have on the 14th of June, Minister Flanagan saying that when there are conditions, that when people breach bail, action has to be taken. And in this case, unfortunately, this did not happen. Now, that's not good enough. Unfortunately, this did not. My child is in a grave. Our son is in a grave. My daughters have lost their brother in a violent manner. And there needs to be accountability.
And speaking about accountability, you had a meeting today with the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris.
That's right.
A lengthy meeting, 90 minutes, I believe.
Yes.
And how did that go? I know you probably can't tell us the exact ins and outs, but was it a positive meeting?
It was, as you say. I think the length of time and him meeting us, was a recognition of the seriousness of this case. And he's constrained very much because of the ongoing GSOC investigation. But he listened intently to our list and catalogue of failure by the Gardaí, and he is going to meet with us again.
Okay. Finally then, a quick message for the Justice Minister, Charlie Flanagan. If you had him sitting here beside you, unfortunately he isn't here to take part in this conversation, but if he was, what would you have to say to him?
I would say to him that he holds a very serious portfolio. This is a very serious case. And he needs to take stop sitting on his hands and address it as such. There are no legal basis for delaying an inquiry. It is the will of the people, and he should respect the will of the people.
Okay, Lucia, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.